Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
For this evening is James Bell, as we are underway here at Bloomfield Road. Header from the Dean from the goal kick is cleared away by Perrington, and it's a great run forward on the edge of penalty. It's taken out, surely. That's got to be. It was Bogle through on goal, and he's been taken out, and that has to be a red card. Early doors for Blackpool. And it is. The red card is shown. And I'm trying to see who that player is. Is it Williams?
Husband. James Husband, James Husband, number three. Yep. Within, what, 50 seconds?
Three.
Hamilton approaching the penalty area. It goes to the right-hand side of Perrington. He's just got to hold him up here. And Perrington again brings him down. And it will be a free kick. And Perrington will be having a talking to here from the referee. It's a second yellow card. And it's 10 against 10 now. I mean, the danger signs were there that Hamilton was taking on Perrington, and it gets the better of him a second time. And that is a second yellow card, and Chalk will be absolutely livid with that.
It was, as you say, it was something that was on the cards.
Shinny will swing this in. Dangerous looking ball. In it's with the jump,
yes!
And it's in!
It's in!
Can't see who got the last touch. There is a bit of debate going on whether Bogle touched it. Now the linesman flag
that?
Goes up.
Why does it take Maxwell to go all the way across there to ask him to then put the flag up?
A controversy here.
Benitez really well to control it and bring it down and pass it out to Mattson. Little touch into the run of Shinny. Tackled, but Mattson gets it back, swung across. Doughty's there, heads it back again. And there's a header from Benitez! And there's the goal! Superb football from Charlton. What a header back from Doughty. And Anike there to poach it. And Charlton have a 1-0 lead.
Well, Anike starts and finishes his move. Lovely. I think a header initially. Gets it down out to Mattson. It's a good bit of football between him and Shinny. And Mattson gets it back. Brilliant ball in. Really good ball in towards the far post. You're right though. Doughty makes the goal by getting on the end of it and heading it back in. And there's Chucks. He was unlucky not to get a goal the weekend. And he gets one now. His first league goal of the season.
A push in the back of a knee. Okay, there, I thought, by Ed Pateta. And it is the final whistle. Charlton held on.
So hello and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be looking back at that 1-0 win over Blackpool and of course looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to take on the Cobblers of Northampton Town. Joining me on the pod to do just that. First up is Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, good mate. Thanks. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Did you enjoy the 1-0 shellacking we handed out to the Seasiders on Tuesday?
I did, mate. I did, yeah. Two wins on the spin, two clean sheets. Well, three clean sheets in a row. Can't go wrong at all, can you?
Yeah, absolute promotion contenders now, of course. And another man who will join us to discuss our impending promotion to the Championship is, of course, Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Yeah, just looking at... Yeah, well, I don't know. Apart from Spain addicts abusing me with wrongings of making tea, cutting sandwiches like a freak, and eating a Kit Kat like an absolute savage. But yeah, I've calmed down a lot since Tuesday because I got a bit irate, shall one say. But yeah, no, looking forward to the weekend.
Oh yeah, I forgot some of those takes you were sending out during the first half in particular. But yeah,
we won't repeat those on air.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it in a little while. And I am sorry to hear that you've been being cyberbullied by someone on Twitter as well, Spain Addict. But anyway, look, on tonight's show, like I said, we're going to look back at that game against Blackpool. We've already heard the highlights. We'll hear Lee Bowyer's reaction to that. We're also going to hear from the goal scorer, Chuk Sonico. We've got a few tweets and emails that came in to talk about that. Also, in today's press day, Lee Bowyer spoke about the possibility of bringing in a free agent. So we'll hear a little bit more about what Bow said on that subject and then have a discussion about that. And then, of course, got to turn our attention to the game with the Cobblers up at Six Fields on Saturday. I spoke to Charles and Danny from the It's All Cobblers to Me podcast last night. We'll hear that later on. And, of course, Lee Bay will preview the game himself, give us a little bit of an injury update. So, Nath, first of all, a win's a win. And I think we deserved it on the balance of play. I don't think we gave up too many chances on Tuesday evening. As Lee Bowyer said, we probably did make hard work of it, considering, you know, the fact that we did play against 10 men for almost 45 minutes, although then we did have 10 men ourselves after that. But yeah, what did you make of it overall?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Bowes. We did make a very hard work of it. I think it highlighted, for me, we'll go on to the sort of additions or possible addition maybe later, but I just think... for me, even though looking back, you look at it and go, yeah, it wasn't spectacular, which you're never going to play spectacular football for every minute, for every single game in this league. And the start that we've had, we could say we're playing a little bit of catch up because of the couple of losses in there. But I think at this point in time and the strange way of, especially away from home with no fans and stuff, you just need to win games, whether it comes as a 1-0, you know, like Burton, like a couple of years ago, and we won 1-0 away, something like that. Or if you do scrape a 3-2, it doesn't really matter at the moment. You just need 3 points in a bag, and then you build up a bit of momentum because you've got the Saturday Tuesdays, and that momentum can prove pivotal come the end of the season. You look at last season, we went down in injury time. And then you can look back at all those games that we spoke about last year, about those last-minute equalisers or those last-minute conceding last-minute. They all add up. So, yeah, it wasn't pretty, but we made it really hard work. But we got the 3 points in the bag. And Blackpool are a decent side. I think they're in a bit of a false position at the moment with the squad they got on paper.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone's been saying that about Blackpool. Apparently, every manager does go and say, oh, you know, Blackpool will finish higher than they will. In fact, we hear Lee Bowyer say that later on. But they haven't started very well in the league season. They certainly didn't start very well on Tuesday evening, Lou. It was within the first minute. I think I worked out something like 50, 55 seconds that the foul was made and Husband was sent off. And I guess the disappointment is that other than maybe about 10 minutes where Alfie seemed to have the beating of their left back, we didn't really take advantage of the fact that they were down to 10.
No, we didn't. I mean, we created the odd chance, didn't we? Pushing forward and put them under a bit of pressure, but we just didn't really, you know, didn't take the chances that we created. And then obviously we went on to shoot ourselves a little bit in the foot. We'll talk about that going forward. But, you know, with the performance and everything, I thought, especially when you're away from home, I was kind of, like what Nave said there, with Blackpool, they probably are in a bit of a false position. So I was going into this game, not fearful, but, you know, a little bit sort of curious to see how we'd come up against a side like Blackpool with the players they have. Because they've got, you know, decent EFL pros in there that they've had a lot more time to prepare than we have, and we've touched on many a time that we probably are a few weeks behind other people in terms of preparation because of everything that happened behind the scenes. But so I did kind of think this would be a decent little test. So to see them go down to 10 men after 2 minutes, I was sort of rubbing my hands together, you know, I was thinking, oh, here we go, this could be decent. But like you say, we didn't really capitalise on their downfall, and I was kind of disappointed that we didn't do that. And I don't really think that we were clinical enough in that period. But that's something that we've gone on to criticise with our side for quite a while now, that we seem to create all these chances, but we just can't seem to put them away.
Yeah, and then obviously Nath, the numbers were evened up shortly before half-time. Ben Perrington already on a yellow card. Okay, I mean, he's coming up against a CJ Hamilton, who, you know, I've rated for a couple of years. Actually, I remember when he played against us for Mansfield in the FA Cup. He scored a goal, didn't he, up at their place? And then I actually randomly saw a Mansfield game last season against Macclesfield. And he came off the bench there and looked reasonably lively. So he's a player we know all about. But, you know, Ben Perrington already on a yellow card. I think a lot of people were questioning his decision-making there.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on... When was it? Wednesday? I said it on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday.
He was too tight. From the first time he got the book, before he even got booked, he was too tight to him. He was too touch tight. And with Perrington, if you're going... He's usually, you know, we always say a steady Eddie, you know, 7 out of 10, but that's him in defensively, right? And I think when he was getting so too touch tight, and then as soon as he got booked, he made another foul. And I thought, he's on next year, was it? And he'd done the same again. All he's got to do is he knows he's not going to beat him for pace. So he's made the decision so easy for him. Even if he just stands off a little bit more and go, right, if you're going to beat me, you're going to have to knock it past me, and then I'll get the body in the way and get a free kick. But he was so tight. Any slight quick movement, which CJ did, he was going to pull him back. And he'd done it 3 times, and it was just infuriating because it was so predictable, and they were always going to even it up, the ref, which, to be fair to the ref, I didn't think he had a poor game. But I just think it was just silly. It was so avoidable, and you could see it. And I think the frustration for me is that we were playing... When you play against 10, they're just going to have 2 banks of 4 and they're going to go narrow. So all we did, which to be fair, we had Pratt and Watson and they were 2 deep players. We were just playing in front of them. We were trying to diags and it weren't working. We didn't really have a lot of pace, which obviously the only time it really changed was when Mattson come on, which he had a bit of pace and look what happened there. But yeah, I think it was just a bit silly from Ben. Especially coming in, you probably want to say, right, I've got this young kid Mattson coming in now, I want to win this place and keep it. And he's just done that, and it's like, well, it was just silly, really, really naive. And I thought, I just expected a bit more he's a seasoned player, he's not an inexperienced player.
His first red card in his career as well. So he would have been very disappointed. Yeah, well, hopefully he will. He certainly came in for some stick from some supporters throughout the evening on Tuesday. Obviously, then, before we get on to the goal that stood, Lewis, we should talk about the goal that was disallowed. Ryan Innes, you know, rose highest at a corner. Finally, a corner came to something, and then even then it was disallowed. Omar Bogle, adjudged to have interfered or touched, I'm not certain. But, I mean, the linesman took forever to make that decision. He basically waited until the goalkeeper ran over to him and persuaded him to make that decision. So you can see why that one was quite a frustrating one for Lee Bowyer to take.
100%. Yeah, I was the same at home watching it. It's difficult because from where we see it on the stream, you obviously only see it the one time. But I don't really think that... Well, I'm pretty sure Bogle didn't get a touch, but he shouldn't really be in that position anyway because he doesn't need to divert it goalwards because Innes, 6'5", he's winning that header. And it's goal bound. I don't really think Bogle needs to be in the way. So you don't need to give the linesman the opportunity to make that call. But that being said, as you say, it took an age for them to make the decision. And it was frustrating because, like you say, it's almost like they did crumble to the pressure. Nothing was raised until Chris Maxwell went over there, you know, fuming at the decision. And then, you know, find ourselves on level terms again, which is... It's a shame because I do think that Innes has really impressed me over his last 2 performances, and I think, you know, he's come in with a bit of a background, you know, of what he's done before in his past and everything like that, which we know and we've read about. But he's obviously come here to prove a point, and in his 2 opening performances for us, I've been really impressed with the way he's played. He's, you know, on his touch sometimes a little bit off, and his passing there may be the odd. You know, the odd wayward pass and stuff. That's all just, you know, ring rust, if you like. But everything else with his game has really impressed me. You know, he was an absolute rock on Tuesday night, along with Famwo as well. And I thought he'd have deserved that goal. It would have been nice for him to cap off a performance like that with a goal, but it wasn't to be. It's just lucky we went on and scored a winner eventually because, you know, it wasn't the most glamorous performance, but I do think it warranted the 3 points for us.
Yeah, and the goal, when it did come, Nath, was a goal of real quality. And it's all about that man, Chuksunike. He's come off the bench. You know, as I said over the weekend, you know, I'm really excited about what the player that I think Chucks is going to turn into for us. And he's started to show that now. I mean, his work involved in the build-up to that goal, I think, will go sort of forgotten because of, you know, he was there to apply the finishing touch at the end. But he actually brought the ball down really nicely before playing it out to the left-hand side. Mattson's cross towards the far side, and Doughty's done superbly to get it back into the middle, where Chucks has made sure he's made that run in towards the edge of the six-yard box and headed it home. I mean, overall, that was a moment of real quality that actually deserved to make sure we go home with those 3 points.
Yeah, cool. So I think if the obviously after his performance on Saturday, which he, you know, wasn't rewarded with a goal, but I think many people have said it's probably the one of the rare occasion we've seen Chucks play, and you know, he's fit and he was doing really well. I think since this season, he looks a lot more agile. He looks to win his headers. He looks more physical, which I think we've all got to remember. I mean, Chucks has never come through Arsenal as a striker. He was a number 10. He's only sort of flourished as a sort of, you could class him as a false nine, really. He's not that one who's going to sit on the shoulder and try and beat people for pace, but he's for a big lad, he's, you know, he's good with his feet. And I think his hold-up plays, bringing others into play, was superb on yesterday. And yeah, it was great ball in from Mattson, which is just nice to have a left-back that can cross. Pirate's good going back, but I think as soon as he goes forward, he always cuts back inside. So, but yeah, I think great ball in, great header back from Doughty, who's improving, you know, every time I see him. And Nike's had that finishing instinct, which I think is obviously paying dividends, what Jacko and Bose is doing to him on the training field.
Yeah, and let's hope he can carry on his record against Northampton, 4 appearances and 3 goals against Northampton Town for Chuksunike. So I'm hoping to see some more of that when we go into Saturday. But let's talk about a couple of players who come off the bench then, or in one who actually made his full debut, Omar Bogle and Ian Martson then. So obviously a full debut for Bogle, Martson off the bench. Lou, what did you make of the two of them?
Yeah, you know, with Omar Bogle, he obviously got in that position to get that chance early on, which in the end saw husband sent off. There is rust there. You can see that he's not played a lot of football. There are a couple of opportunities where he did the hard work and brought it down well and got into good positions, but just didn't have sort of that clinical finish. But those things will come in time. You know, we've had that with strikers for, you know, taking Lyle and, you know, taking Lyle out of the equation, really. You've had it with Church, you've had it with, you know, Tamer Hemed, we were talking about. We go back to strikers that we've had, but they've never really been renowned for being sort of prolific goal scorers. This will get one once in a blue moon, but I think that he'll improve, and I do think he brings something to the side. He's a very similar mould to Chucks, where he's got the ability to bring the ball down, hold it up. He's strong, he can bring others into play. He'll work well with someone like Paul Smith alongside him, which I think Chucks has as well. I think Chucks has really thrived off having someone like Paul Smith playing alongside him, that's just a different player, rather than having two very similar strikers next to each other. And Ian Mattson, I mean, what an impact when he came on. You know, it's very much like Jada Silva. It's a different left back to what we're used to. You know, Ben's not so strong going forward. And the way Mattson played when he came on, it wasn't just his work out on the left-hand side and the cross, but also some of the passes he was finding in the middle. And he was sort of finding himself dragged into the middle as well to try and get into space and create passages of play, which I think he did really well. I mean, he was finding passes that I couldn't even see on the screen. You know, I was looking at, I wonder who's going to pass that. Probably go to Chucks, and he'll find like another pass. I think, where's he seen that? Like, it just shows that, you know, a good footballing brain and something that is obviously drilled into you when you're going through an academy like Chelsea. And again, you know, I think he's going to be a real good player for us. I think the game suited him when he came on. He really open Blackpool up on that side. They couldn't handle him. He was fairly unplayable, and I thought defensively he dealt very well with CJ Hamilton as well, who we've touched on as, you know, is a very tricky player, very quick. So yeah, impressive debut from Mattson especially, and you know, an average to decent display from Bogle as well. I just think that there's more to come from him, and it will come in time.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully, like I say, Mattson could be the next Jada Silva, and Bogle could be either the next Darren Bent or Simon Church, really, both similar levels for me, of course. But Yeah, I think we should... we haven't really spoke about the fact that we kept a clean sheet, and I thought that Innes and Fanwo at the back were absolutely superb once again. But yeah, we'll talk about that again on Sunday if they get another one on Saturday. I think it is time that we hear from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer. I wasn't at the game, so it's Terry who did the interview, and he told Tell Bowyer did that he was happy to see his side come away with the 3 points.
Yeah, we made hard work of it. They went down to 10 men quite early. I would rather have gone through scoring and play 11v11. Like, it would have been a much better game. And then obviously they always look to then even it up. But just a bit disappointed that we didn't take advantage of that. We didn't move the ball. We didn't really hurt them when they went down to 10. But the most important thing on a Tuesday night when you come to places like Blackpool, the most important thing is just the 3 points. And I've just said that to the players, like, we're much better than what we showed tonight. We showed in bits here and there that what we can do and what we're capable of doing, and but we just didn't show it enough tonight. So I'm happy with the 3 points, but we will get better. Like, again, made a few changes, people just gelling in, like, into the squad. So yeah, we will get better as we go along.
Any complaints about the Purrington sending off second yellow to even it up?
I think they're both pulling each other. I don't think, like, that there's much in it. The only thing I would say is that once you get that tight against Hamilton, he's a good player and he's really quick. Once you get that tight, and if you don't win the ball, then you're in trouble. So, but I thought it was a soft yellow. I thought it was a soft yellow card. There were so many decisions tonight that just... there's a lot of guessing going on. So, yeah.
Probably more disappointed with the goal that was disallowed, I'm guessing.
Yeah, of course, because the linesman is not a chance. He's telling that you can see from there, and he's just guessed, and he guessed 30 seconds after that the ball was in the net. We were celebrating for 30 seconds, then he decides to put his flag up. I'm sick and tired of talking about decisions. I should be talking about the game, but week in, week out, game after game, we're talking about decisions, big decisions. Like, again, we've been punished there. It's not right. It's not right. Can't keep happening. Can't keep happening.
Look from the other side that he made the decision under pressure from Maxwell, the goalkeeper. But at least in the end, it didn't make a great difference, because the winning goal that came was a peach.
Yeah, but that's it shouldn't come down to that, though. You know, we should have been comfortable, because our keeper never really made a save. So we was comfortable all game, but to make a decision like that when you don't really know, then that's wrong. But to be fair, it was a great goal. Young Ian, I thought he was very sharp when he came on. Showed what he does have. He's got some quality. Great delivery, Alfie, good header, and Chucks. I'm pleased for Chucks, because he's really starting to come alive in that striker's role. So. Pleased for him. He's got his goal because he deserves it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
it!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. We just heard there the Alex Bosley-Boyer after the win up at Bloomfield Road on Tuesday evening. A very solid 3 points. And as he said, you know, not our most fluid, but because, as I said just before, we heard from Bo there, we are keeping these clean sheets. It means that two goals in the last three games has won us 7 points. And that just shows how important that base, that solid defensive base has been for us. So, you know, particularly over the last couple of games with Innes in there, our thoughts look very good. And Akinfenwo, you know, is certainly up there as well. So, yeah, exciting times. And we're becoming hard to beat at the back, which is very important. But anyway, I did ask for some tweets and emails to see what people made of the game on Tuesday night. Phil said one or two scares, but in general, we looked much more solid in defence. Matson looked class and so like Jay De Silva. Yeah, similar point there. I believe we will go from strength to strength as the lads get to play and train together and should be in and around the mix at the end of the season. Craig says the team are growing, partnerships are forming everywhere. Innes and Fainwo looked like a beast pairing. Gunter and Doughty worked the right wing fantastically. However, there are questions to be asked of the coaching team. And Nathan, I'm going to direct this question towards you then. They did nothing to protect the walking red card that was Ben Purrington. Not his fault, he was on toast. But they could have protected him to half time without using a sub. Secondly, Watson and Prattley is far too negative, one at a time, unless it's backs to the wall. So Craig clearly thinks that they Purrington should have been protected somehow. I don't know if he means by taking him off or by sticking someone in front of him. What do you think that Bo should have done differently?
Well, to be fair, I mean, to an extent, I sort of agree. We could, I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I think if he was booked and he never ended up getting sent off, we obviously wouldn't be saying about we should have protected him just in case, you know. But I agree with him in a way that, you know, he's up against the winger. You know, they're going to attack him. They know that we're going to obviously bomb on and try and push another one on, try and keep the fullbacks high, because to try and open up the space in the wider areas. But I think I think the problem was he got sent off so early to use a sub that's not really injury or tactical related in terms of the shape or anything. That's probably why they didn't do it. And in fairness, if you're an experienced, if he was a young kid, if he was, say, Ian Matson, say, for example, and he got booked after and he was up against it, then maybe he would have thought differently, because you think, experienced player, he ain't going to make the same mistake 2-3 times, is he? But I mean, in hindsight, we can sit there and, you know, I was thinking about it on Tuesday, going, why wouldn't you protect him? But would you really swap a left back for a left back after 15 minutes when you're playing against 10 men? It would have raised some eyebrows, but I agree with what Craig's saying to an extent, but I can see why Bose didn't change anything. But I mean, the main bit was is that he changed it in the end and got Matson on, and he obviously proved to be key in the goal. So it's hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and Lewis, what about Prattley and Watson in the same team? Obviously, that's two or three games now in a row that we've seen that. And it isn't the most dynamic midfield. They both certainly have their attributes, but do you think they're too similar to playing the same side? Do you think there's other options out there that Bowyer might be wiser to utilise? Or do you think, you know, they had that experience that perhaps we don't have in other places, in other parts of the team, because we're quite a young side in some places?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, we've been unbeaten with over the last three games and kept three clean sheets with those guys there, and we've won two of them and arguably could have got a better result out of Sunderland. But I do agree that I do sort of see that it's not the most creative of midfields, but maybe the thinking behind it at the moment is the fact that we have got a fairly new back four. You know, taking Perrington out of it, he's been here a while, but you know, with Ryan and Innes, Akinfenwo haven't played together really only the last two games. Chris Gunter as well. So maybe they're just that sort of additional line of defence at the moment while they settle. And the options there as well. I mean, if you're playing like a flat 4-4-2, then really the only sort of option you've got that you can play there is Jake, I suppose. And he played well against Wigan. But we obviously, Gilby is out at the moment. Madison is out at the moment. Johnny, he had a knock on international duty. Dylan Levitt he's very young, so maybe you didn't want to chuck him in to, you know, for the minutes that you'd have to give them. You know, these are experienced pros that have performed well at every level they have, and despite maybe not being the most creative of players, we have seen Darren Prattley be creative. We've seen Darren Prattley, you know, curl a goal top bins at Shrewsbury, so he has got something in his locker, and he does all of the nitty gritty while the people further ahead of him get the goals. Would I like to see more of a creative midfield pairing? Maybe, but at the moment they're not really doing anything wrong because we haven't lost a game, we haven't conceded in the last three. When you see this team slowly coming together, so there's probably is room for change, of course, but at the moment it's working. But maybe when Gilby comes back, we'll see something different, and Jake's an option there as well. But we know that he's had his injury problems, so we probably have to protect him slightly. The same with Johnny and Marcus Madison. Once they get sharp, it adds a whole new dimension to that midfield, and maybe Bowie will change it up a little bit then. But for the minute, what we've got, you know, 100% fit and match sharp as much as they can be, I think the option that we've got out there at the moment is probably the best for us.
Quickly on Prattley, you see, I know there was one game, I think it was the Wigan game, when he played left of a diamond, didn't he? And I think even myself, I was like, what the hell? But then when you watch it back, it's actually really clever what Bowie had done. I don't know if anyone else noticed it, because Alfie was playing left back, right? And he was always bombing on. So when he got caught out of position, you had Massey on the right-hand side. So if he's on the transition and Massey's running at you, who are you going to want on that left side of the diamond? You're going to want someone who can tackle or can at least hold the play up, which is what Prattley did, and they had no joy down there. So I think in terms of him playing, I agree that it's negative in terms of, you know, Prattley and Watson in the same team. But if you need someone with energy who can at least try and win the ball back, Levitt may not give you that protection. Jake can do, but I think sometimes he's a bit rash. But I think that game, for the Wigan game, that I thought he'd done, even though I abused it at the beginning, I thought he was actually really clever in what he did.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was going to release the text you sent to me when you saw that Prattley was playing on the left-hand side of the diamond.
I know. But I think everyone did, though. But I think when you watch it back and then you go and you realise that, yeah, that we nullified that their right-hand side, which is where their threat was. And that's why went down to Naismith.
It's almost as if, and don't take this the wrong way, Nathan, that Lee Bowyer knows more about football than you do, which I know you might find that hard to believe, but there you go. Right, we had couple more emails. Jonathan West from the Upbeats contacted the show to say hi. So hi, Jonathan. I hope you're well. I hope you are enjoying your football. And Craig Redmond emailed in. Was a great result. Chucks and EK again. We look very good at the moment. Imis and Fainwo look like a great partnership. So good to be just chatting about the team again. We go again. Come on, you Reds. And as Craig mentioned there, Chucks and EK was the man in the goals on Tuesday night. And he came to speak to Terry again after the game. He's pleased to be able to contribute to the 3 points.
Yeah, definitely delighted. I just want to help the team, you know. Came on, it's all square, and yeah, I'm just delighted to get the goal to help the team and get the 3 points and just carry on the run that we're on at the moment.
And it's been a stop-start season for you. Obviously, you're getting a goal at Swindon. You must have thought, you know, this season you want to kick on, and then you get the COVID-19 bug and it all grinds to a halt. I'm assuming you're all perfect and everything's great.
Yeah, I'm COVID-free now, thankfully, and just want to just get a run in the team. You know, obviously I have my injury problems since I've been here, and you know, I know what I can do in this team, and you know, I want to score some goals. I want to increase my output since I've been here, assists and goals, and like I said, like do like today.
Well, the fans would have seen you on Saturday especially, but even before then, the start to the season has been impressive. Talk us through the goal today. It's a great ball in by the new fellow Manson on the left hand side, and then Alfie picks you out.
Yeah, no, as I said, a great cross. I see, obviously, Alfie just hooked it back in, and I was in the 6-yard box, and I just headed it in and it's gone in, so yeah, delighted with that.
How are the lads feeling? I mean, scoring the goal and have it chalked off because of a linesman's decision, they must have been a little bit angry, so you had to refocus.
Definitely. I didn't actually see what happened, but was it a goal? I'm not sure whether it was meant to be a goal or not. Yeah, so I've got to see it again. But, you know, decisions go with you and against you. You know, we've got a red card, 2 red cards in the game, and you just got to keep adapting. And like I said, we come out with a result today. So it just shows good, like, mental strength from the lads, and, you know, long may it continue.
You played the air on Saturday, and then Omar came on, and then it's the reverse this time around. So decent competition for places, but you'll be hoping to nail that down for your own.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, I've got to back myself, and like I said, but it's just good that we've got good players in the team. You know, obviously, loads of players are injured at the moment. You know, we've got Dej and Piercy and Madders to come back into the team. So, yeah, competition for places can only be a good thing. You've got to raise everyone's level, really.
Lots of new players in the side as well, so you've got to gel together. But what's the mood in the camp like?
I'd say, obviously, when you win games, that's the aim of the game, really. Yeah. So, you know, we're back-to-back wins now. So, you know, obviously, everyone's positive. But, you know, the game's coming thick and fast. So, we've got one on Saturday, one on Tuesday. So, got to stay humble, keep our heads down and, you know, go again.
And as a striker, obviously, you want to score goals. So, have you set yourself a target? Obviously, now in the side with Connor and Omar, have you set yourself a goal target for the season?
No, I tend to not really set goal targets. I just want to, like, be, you know, as dangerous as possible. You know, I like to assist and I like to score goals. So, just, I have no target, you know, just as many as I can and, you know, just try to help the team, exactly.
The situation in the club and the transfer window that we had, we were a little bit catch-up compared to other teams. Is the mood in the dressing room that you want to make sure you get to catch-up that points gap as quickly as possible?
Yeah, exactly. We want to win every game we're playing, you know, we want to win every game we're playing. But, yeah, the good thing about this is I think we've got a good group of lads that want to win and, you know, want to better their careers. So, I think, you know, if we keep a lot of people fit and on the pitch and, you know, get everyone raring to go, I think it could be very interesting.
Space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Addicts, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. It was a wonderful fall-through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's crew Alexandra Neal, Charlton Athletic 1.
Charlton Live. Welcome back then to Charlton Live. So I think we've drawn a bit of a line under Tuesday's very impressive 1-0 victory up at Bloomfield Road against Blackpool. Chuck Sanike there with the goal. We just heard him on the pod. He wants to increase his output. Yeah, I enjoyed listening to that, actually. I think Chuck's he's hungry again to go and prove his worth. You know, he's scored twice this season. He's looking really sharp, and he knows he needs to deliver a bit more for Lee Bowyer, and I hope he's going to be doing that as we go forward. Right now, Lee Bowyer did have a press day today on Thursday. Some of you may have seen that Richard Corley tweeted earlier on during the day that Lee Bowyer's interested in perhaps trying to bring in another player, perhaps a free agent. So Terry asked a question again during press day today, asked if the Addicts boss has a specific position in mind.
I think we have to look down the right side. We've only got Gunter, and as well as he's done, he's played 290 minutes back to back without really doing anything, no training apart from when he's been away with Wales. So yeah, that's a position that I would like to maybe strengthen if we can. Deji can fill in there, but Deji's at least 2 weeks away. So, and then he's got to get minutes into him. So, yeah, in an ideal world, we might look to bring in someone to fill in down that side. That would be my first choice, but you don't always get your first choice. So, but yeah, that's something that we're just working on now.
Interesting stuff then, Lewis, from Lee Bowyer. You're talking about a right-sided player, about how, I mean, Deji obviously can cover there, but he wants to bring in someone else. Obviously, we've got Chris Gunter. We were interested at one point in Adam Matthews, as we know. Who knows if that will become an option again, because I don't think he's signed up anywhere. But even if it's someone else, you know, it's good to be in a position where we could actually go out and just bring in one more, just because we've probably got two in every position other than right back, unless you are moving Deji there. But I think we prefer him as a centre back. So good to see that we've still got options that we could possibly utilise within the cap.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, as you say, when we look at the squad on paper, right back is where we are short. We've got Chris Gunter, who is a fantastic signing at this level. And then we're looking, as you say, at people to go in there and fill in. They're not really, you know, a specialist in that position. Like they're being forced to play. We saw it with George Lapsley when he had to cover in that position. He's obviously now gone out on loan. Deji is injured for probably, another couple of weeks, maybe, until he's training again. Then you've also got Brendan Waredu, who's been out for however long. He's the only other right back I can actually think of. And obviously Matthews was training with us for a while, and obviously that didn't come to anything eventually. But it would be interesting to see if he was still knocking around, if that was an option to get done. I mean, I don't think any Charlton fan would sort of turn their nose at Matthews signing, but it'd just be interesting to see if he would do, because he'd be behind Chris Gunter, who's, you know, Bo has made sort of fairly publicly that Chris Gunter was his first choice right back, and he'd been sort of trying to get him signed for a little while, you know, beyond this window even. The only other thing is, I imagine he'll just have to go out into the free agent market and have a look for other right backs. I don't imagine that Matthews would be happy to sign and play second fiddle, but I don't know. He's obviously got nothing else lined up, because I think we would have seen him snapped up by now, because I think he's a very good player. But it hasn't really worked for him. You do wonder if maybe he held out for a championship move and it didn't quite come off, and you think if he'd maybe signed for us a little bit earlier on, then maybe he would have been the first choice right back for us anyway. But we'll have to see. I mean, it's interesting that we're trying to get something done. I think it's positive that we've got room in the salary cap, as you say, to get someone in, because I do believe that's a position where we are fragile. You know, it only takes Chris Gunter to take a knock, and you know, we're really struggling there. So it'll be interesting to see if anything materialises over the next couple of weeks or whatever, and what kind of player we do bring in.
Yeah, and it is telling, Nave, that there is clearly quality out there. Like we say, we've picked up a couple of players in the last few days who are obviously waiting around for deals. Adam Matthews is still out there if he's one possibility. I wanted to talk actually a bit about Chris Solly, because, again, Lee spoke about him today. I think everyone got a bit carried away looking at the headline saying he's not surprised, he's not got another club, and just thought that Bo was having a dig. But if you actually read it, he's saying he's not surprised because clubs currently don't have money and there's a hell of a lot of players out there up for grabs. You know, it's no comment on Chris Solly in particular that he's not got a club, because there's plenty out there. Marcus Madison didn't have a club until 2 weeks ago and everyone was absolutely buzzing when we signed him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I agree. I think the headline, unless you read it, it does seem a bit like that. But I think Bo has gone out on record before and said, you know, when Chris was here, you know, much of an asset is around the place. And I think there's many coaches that and players that have said Chris was probably one of the best 1v1 defenders they've seen. And I think Bo is right in what he's saying. It's hard, and unfortunately for Chris, as good as a player he is, probably at this level, clubs are having to be a little bit more astute and a bit more clever at how they're spending their money, especially with the quick turnaround in games and the shorter season and no pre-season. You know, Chris hasn't had a pre-season, you know, and with his injuries and that as well, he can't play two games a week sometimes. There was rumours, but he's played more or less the whole season for us at 1 year, wasn't it? So I just think he's probably recognised as a good player at this level, but there are probably less riskier, in inverted commas, options for other clubs. And I think that's probably where his downfall will be. But I still think he can do a job, maybe this level, or even, you know, League Two, or maybe this level. I just think because of his injury problems, he's probably at the lower end of the heap, so to speak, without being disrespectful to Chris. Cause he was a great servant for us throughout that time. And, you know, it's just sad that he hasn't been able to get a move that he wants, if that's what he wants.
Yeah, obviously, we do have to remember the way he left the club, and a lot of people gave players like Lyle Taylor stick for the same thing. But at the same time, you do have to look at it from both ways. And he was obviously thinking, he was hoping he was going to protect his future career. But unfortunately, at the moment, he's still without a club. But I do really hope he gets signed up as soon as possible to someone. Right, let's start to turn our attention to Saturday then. Northampton Town away at Six Fields. Looking forward to this one. Hopefully Charlton can continue our run of clean sheets. Now, Northampton got their second win of the season in midweek against Swindon Town. I caught up with Charles and Danny last night from the It's All Cobblers to Me podcast. Charles is up first. I asked him how weird it was, because don't forget that the Cobblers actually got promoted last season via the playoffs. 4-0 win at Wembley against Exeter, and they had that amazing comeback. They were 2-0 down against Cheltenham from the first leg. In the second leg, they went to Cheltenham's place and won 3-0. It was a superb turnaround and really was a very entertaining playoff campaign from the Cobblers. But if you have to feel for the likes of Charles and Danny, who were unable to be there and enjoy it. And I did ask Charles first up how weird it was to watch the side go through that playoff promotion campaign from behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah. Weird's probably not the right word quite. It was an experience, definitely. A complete change to what you'd expect. I mean, we went to Wembley, what, in 2013 was the last time we lost to Bradford, which Sky Sports love to remind us every 5 minutes when they replay it. And that day was horrible because we'd lost that game in the first 20 minutes. In fact, we lost it when Adebayo Akinfenwa wasn't named on the starting 11 by current England under-21s manager Ady Boothroyd, who is an idiot and forever will be. it's just the contrast between the two. So to obviously lose at Wembley 3-0 when you're there, and to be basically sat back in your seat after 23 minutes going, I've travelled all the way down here, I've come to, you know, what should be a really, really good day out, and we've been worse than rubbish. Contrast that with, I've just watched us win 4-0 easily in the playoff final on the telly, sat at home when there's no fans there whatsoever. It's weird. You can't, you know, you can't get your head around it. It was great, but as you say, not being there was terrible and was awful. And I mean, we did quite well because we tried to make up for it. We did some live shows on Facebook and Zoom to try and get a little bit of community spirit going on, a little bit of fan interaction and engagement. And one of the things that was really good from that was that we all ended up having a drink with our club chairman, Kelvin Thomas, who came on to the Facebook Live with us to celebrate after we'd won, which was great. And, you know, obviously that would never have happened had we been at the game. You know, it's not like we'd have stumbled into the restaurant after the match or anything like that, or the team hotel.
Could have tried, I guess. But
yeah, could have tried, but it was never realistic that that would have happened. Yeah. So good and bad, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about yourself, Danny? How would you assess Northampton's start to life in League One after promotion? You know, fairly solid so far?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been, you know, 7 points from seven games. You can't complain too much. Pretty much on course for staying up, I guess, which is probably the main aim. Transfer window's been slow. I think Keith Scholes made a big point of slowly working his way and getting the targets that he wants rather than panic and spend loads of money all at once and get loads of players. He's been quite deliberate about who he's brought in. We've obviously sold Charlie Goode to Brentford for over £1 million, which has rocked our defence quite a lot, in all honesty. It's just not been the same. Our entire sort of back three, central back three, has gone in some form or another. So it's been difficult defensively because it's just the three new players and how they're trying to fit them in. It's not working yet. There's been a fair few mistakes. There's a fair few things like communication issues and stuff going on that's just like led to really poor, sloppy goals going in. But by the same token, we have picked up a couple of wins that we've looked half decent in. So I think it's going to be a slow process, but all in all, it's been an okay start, I'd say.
Yeah, and Charles, I want to know a bit more about Keith Curl now, because in my mind, he's been an absolute joke figure for a few years. I think it must have been when he was the Carlisle manager that he bought some lipstick and a rock into a press conference, and also once was quite vocal about his players' male genitalia. Getting them 3 points once, which, you know, any which way they come, I guess. But it sounds like he's actually, you know, he's settled down. He has had good spells at clubs, and, you know, we take the piss. But he has clearly got some managerial nous, and he seems to have helped really turn things around at Northampton over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's definitely brought an identity into the club. One of the things that our former manager and player Ian Sampson said, what, probably about or 6 to 12 months before he took over, was that I think it was we were losing in the derby against Peterborough, and Samo just said, we've got no identity. The club don't know where they're going. The players don't know how that we're meant to be playing. There is no Northampton identity. Curl has come in and has given us that. It might not be the most attractive football or anything like that, but there is a definite identity and way that we play, which is to get the ball up the field as quick as possible and then fight for it in sort of the top third of the area and fight for the right to play football at that end of the pitch. As I say, it's not always the most attractive, and when it doesn't work, it looks terrible. But when it does, as it did in the playoffs, especially in the second leg against Cheltenham and then obviously the final against Exeter, it looks really entertaining and really good football. I suppose Kerr's grown up a bit, to be honest. I don't think he's ever said anything that ridiculous since he's been in charge with us. He talks
It's a shame in a way.
In a way, yeah. I mean, he talks about things like getting on the wave or going on a journey. He talks a lot about upward curves.
No male genitalia in sight.
No, man, no. Unless you count him seeing Nicky Adams completely stark naked on a beach in Marbella. This is when he signed Nicky for Carlisle after he'd been there. He'd won promotion with the Cobblers back in 2016.
Well, there you go. And Danny, then, I should just say then, just a final question that we always ask is, you know, it's a game on Saturday. Who are the main threats to Charlton that they should be very wary of?
The referee.
Yes. we brought in this kid, is he a kid? I don't know, even know, Ricky Horboa, who's, we brought him from Carshalton in Long League, just completely random signing. But obviously Keith's been looking at him for quite a long time. And he's just got this like raw talent, that he's just completely, he's not scared of anything. He'll just take the ball and go on a little dribbly run. He makes things happen in the attacking third. And I think at the start of the season, we're all like, he's going to be one who kind of beds into the team and sort of slowly gets into it. But actually he's coming and just taking it by storm. And you just don't think he's going to be dropped at the minute, because he's got this like energy that you love to see as fans, that he just grabs the ball and he'll be able to do something with it. So he's probably the one that will make something happen in attack, apart from Sam Hoskins, of course. But, you know, everyone knows about his danger, don't they?
That's their daddy's favourite player, by the way. Samuel Tobias Hoskins.
To give him his full name, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the danger for us, I think, is probably Fraser Horsfall. Our defender tried to let Swindon win it twice on Tuesday night. With a couple of dodgy back passes. So, I mean, it'll be like you playing with 12 people on the pitch if he's in the starting lineup anyway.
If you guys can just not attack, then we'd be quite happy with that, I think.
Well, to be fair, we haven't done too much of that so far this season. But you can't really talk to Charlton about dodgy back passes until you remember that we scored one at Wembley after five minutes.
Oh, that Wembley one. Oh,
goodness me. Excellent stuff. Right, okay. So, guys, just between you then, a quick prediction for Saturday's game. Charles and then Danny.
I'll go with a 2-2 draw, I think. We'll go 2-0 up and then you'll pull it back. Typical Cobblers.
Go on, Danny.
I think you're going to have too much quality for us, honestly. I think you're going to win. I'll go for 3-1 Charlton.
There we go then. That's Charles and Danny from It's All Cobblers to Me pod. I'm on their podcast this week as well. If you have a look on my Twitter, I probably would have shared it at some point on Friday morning, talking about, I tried to explain to them what the hell has gone on at Charlton over the last few months. So as you can imagine, it was quite funny, and it was a good laugh. So if you get a chance, make sure you listen to that as well. But thanks to the two chats for coming on to our pod, and talking about a North Hampton side that, you know, having been promoted, Lewis, under a manager, Keith Curl, that I did take the mickey out of a little bit there, because he has done some funny stuff in the past. You know, I imagine their aim this season is to stay up. So far, so good. They're sitting outside the relegation zone, got a couple of wins under their belts. I imagine they're probably reasonably happy with how they've made the step up so far.
Yeah, I'd say so. As you say, anyone coming up really from League Two, making the step up, their ultimate goal is to stay in the division and try and stabilise and build on. You know, it's been a little while since they were in League One. I think you'd go back to the year before we got promoted, I think. The last time I remember going there and winning up 4-0. And they spent a few years down in League Two. They've obviously bounced back up now. They've got some decent players as well, some decent pros. Nicky Adams is there, Mark Marshall, who we all know as well. And Keith Curl is a good manager. You know, he's got people out of divisions before. He was fairly successful at clubs like Carlisle, and you know, he's there now, sort of stabilising Northampton a little bit. And yeah, they'll be their main goal, as you say, will be to stay in the division and try and sort of kick on from there. But they're not doing themselves any harm so far. They had a good win midweek against Swindon, who have, you know, been fairly, well, they were fairly impressive at the start. They've tailed off a little bit now, but you know, they'll be happy with their start, I'm sure, and they'll no doubt want to be trying to take a scalp off of us on Saturday when we travel up to Sixfields or whatever it's called now. I think it's still Sixfields.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing. How, again, when I asked the two chaps, we are starting to be seen again as a big club, which I couldn't get used to in the Championship. I felt like we were sort of quite small fry compared to some of the teams that have been up there for a while. But anyway, let's hear from Lee Bowyer as well then. Obviously, having played on Tuesday night, the first thing that he was asked is if there's any fresh injury concerns after that win over Blackpool.
No fresh ones. Still very much the same. So nothing's really changed for us. The only difference is Madison, he trained with us today. So there's a good chance that he'd travel with us the weekend.
The fact you've got a slightly stronger squad than you, and clearly that you've had recently, does that take the pressure off a bit than having to throw him in?
Well, to throw Madison in?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to take care of him because he's not played no minutes at all. And what are we, six games in, something like that, five, six games in, and he's not played any minutes. Obviously, when he came to us, he wasn't match fit anyway. He hasn't had a pre-season. So, like some of the others, like we'll try and bed him in the best we can. But there's some that you can't, that you just got to put them straight in. But we're okay in that position at the moment, so we won't do that with Madison.
I'm assuming by your statement there's no real fresh issues that Jason's still out?
Yeah, sorry. Jason Pearce is still out. I think 2 weeks before he's back training. Who's the other one? 2 weeks... I think Deji's going to be 2 weeks and then he'll be back training as well. They're the closest two.
On to the game to weekend, Northampton, of course. Managed their second win of the season. Now, we're obviously now in the top half of the table. Four games unbeaten, three clean sheets. You must be delighted with that. But, of course, Northampton just bagging their second win of the season. They'll be confident. So, be a tough game.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game. Every game's tough. It's as tough as you make it. Obviously, them being at home, they have the home advantage, but they picked up a good result against Swindon in the week. And I watched that game and I've watched a few of their games. And obviously, they can hurt you. Every team in this division, it's on the night you've seen some crazy results. Ipswich the other night lost 4-1 against Doncaster. Like, you would never have thought it. Not that Doncaster ain't good, but Ipswich have been on fire. So yeah, anything can happen. But if we come and turn up with the right mentality, then we'll give them a good game, I have no doubt.
Yeah, good to hear there's no fresh injury worries then. And in fact, Marcus Madison is going to make the trip as well, by the sounds of it. Probably, almost certainly won't start. But a useful body to have in the squad, Nath. So we're going into this game. I mean, you absolutely have to go into this one with a bit of confidence now because we're defending well. And I think, as I said earlier on, the absolute minimum that you need to go on and win games is that you start to make it really tight at the back and then you only need one goal down the other end.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we've shown that our resilience in the last couple of games. Coming up against a side who are good at set pieces and long throws. So I think Ryan and Akin are going to have their work cut out again, which you are going to get in this league. You're going to get quite a lot of direct sort of football, which is what it is. But yeah, I think the resilience that we've shown in the last 2 weeks and scored when it mattered, it's proved pivotal. I think last season, once we come out of COVID, it just didn't seem like we was ever going to score. I couldn't see us scoring two goals. So if we went 1-0 down, even to an extent, the Lincoln game, they score first, and it's like, well, can I see a score in two? Not really. So yeah, it just changed the whole dynamic of it now, and I think there's a lot more confidence in there. Tricky game on Saturday, and we just need to just win these ugly away games, and then we can try and get through this little period of Saturday, Tuesday. All the lads know each other. Obviously, I don't know if everyone saw the songs, the intro songs, which are quite funny, but yeah, so it's going to be it's going to be tricky. But yeah, I think we're showing a resolve at the moment, which is really good and something that we didn't have last year.
Yeah, it is weird actually. Like you say, a couple of overnight away games. You know, the one at Blackpool, and I imagine they will go and stay up at Northampton. It will probably help the team bonding in this early stage because there are so many new bodies now. Rotation of the strikers is something that we've seen, isn't it, Lewis? We saw Paul Smith and Chooks and EK benched for Washington and for Omar Bogle on Tuesday, but Bo said he's going to rotate him. So I kind of expect those two to come back in. I mean, definitely Chooks after he scored. Is that the way you see it going, the front line?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd have Smith and Chooks go back in. I think Washington looked a bit tired on Tuesday. I think maybe feeling the effects of international duty. And Omar Bogle was still trying to find that match sharpness, so maybe he'll come on. You know, it's still, you know, Chooks isn't really in the position at the moment where he can do 90 minutes, and we know that he's sort of, that's what we're going to get from him at the moment, because he's building up that fitness, and he's doing it very well, you know, so far. But it's good to have options, isn't it? Like, we've been in so many positions previously we've never been able to rotate, and we're burning players out. It's nice that we've got, you know, four decent striking options there in Washington, Smith, Bogle and Chooks, that we can keep fresh and rotate, and when a game does change and or one of them's, you know, tired or isn't quite making the impact they want to, you've got those options on the bench to try and create something where before we've kind of never really had that. So yeah, I'd expect Smith to come back in and Chooks as well. I think they look really good together against Wigan on Saturday. I think Smith is just like so quick, isn't he? He'll get more assists this season than he gets goals, but he's just like such a tricky player. And Chooks obviously is that strong player that can hold it up and maybe bring him into play and create some chances for him. So yeah, I think it's a good little partnership they could build up there. So it'd be interesting to see if they start Saturday. Hopefully they do.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I reckon we'll see a start for Ian Martin as well, especially with Purrington on his one match ban. But anyway, we're running out of time, so let's just have a quick prediction from both Lewis and Nathan. Nathan, I have yours first. How do you think it's going to go?
An EK hat-trick, 3-0. Omar Bogle come on and score an own goal. Or stop a goal. Like that.
So only
bring Omar on if we're like at least two up, just in case he wants to chalk off another goal.
And Lewis,
I'm gonna go 2-0 Charlton.
Yeah, Omar Charlton. Or Chooks? Who are you gonna pick? Omar or Chooks for the goals?
Chooks for me. Chooks for me.
For some reason, we've become Team Chooks on this podcast over Team Omar, as if it's some sort of battle. Whereas obviously we want them both to do well. But anyway, right? Let's call it. It's because he ruled out that goal for Ryan Innes, isn't it? I don't know. We've accidentally turned him into a hate figure, but we don't. We love him really as well, right? Let's end the show there. Thanks to all of you who've listened to this week's big match preview. Don't forget, Charlton Live will be back on Sunday. Tom will be hosting the show on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Northampton. Obviously, hopefully it'll be a Chooks and EK hat-trick with an Omar Bogle hat-trick for pudding. Thank you to Lewis and to Nathan for joining me this week.
Cheers, no worries, boys. Mate. Nice one. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Good to have you on. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you back here on Sunday. See you later.
I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.